Hi, it's Jeff, host of the podcast. Imagine a world where planning your books is as fun as writing them, where plotters plot in heroic harmony and pantsers organize without overwhelm. Here's the thing, that world exists. Plotters and pantsers alike love the visual outlining and story Bible software Plotter, now available both online and as a web app. Named the number one outlining app for productivity by Kindlepreneur, Plotter turns outlining and organizing your books into the creative process it's supposed to. Visit plotter.com/RW today. That's plotter.com/RW today. And experience the difference yourself. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Adam Hamdy, author of the new novel, The Other Side of Night. Best-selling author James Patterson wrote about the novel, "I couldn't stop thinking about the story's incredible twist, like no crime novel I've ever read." Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your new novel, The Other Side of Night, how would you describe the novel?
It is a mind-bending human experience. It's designed to be a journey for someone to go on, so you actually reach the other side of night, just as much as it is, you know, intended to be an entertaining read.
And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write The Other Side of Night?
Absolutely, yeah. The book was inspired by a question that our middle son asked when we were out walking in the Peak District, which is a beautiful inland cliff in the heart of England. And he was 8 years old, and he asked me a question, which I can't talk about because it's a bit of a spoiler for the for the book. But I just stuck with me, and I just thought, there's an incredible story here. This, you know, that is just such an amazing question for a kid to ask. I just thought, there's a book or a movie or something here, and I just started working on it straight away.
That's great. And I'm curious, can you tell us, what was your initial writing journey that led you to writing your first stories and novels, and then eventually getting your first novel published?
I've always been writing, ever since I was a child, just writing stories, plays. It's just been a passion of mine. We moved around a lot as a child, and so I was always having to make new friends, and it was easiest for me to carry my friends around with me in a notebook. so I would be making up stories, and I came from quite a normal, sort of not particularly well-off family, and we didn't have very much, and didn't really know any creatives, certainly not any writers. And it never occurred to me that one could write professionally. I thought that novelists, I devoured books as a child, and I just thought they were kind of superhumans of some kind, you know, kind of a distant race of people that lived on a magical island somewhere. I just didn't realize that, you know, you could do this as a job. And so I didn't come to writing until I'd already had another career. And what prompted me to give up a sort of corporate career was my father passed away quite suddenly. And it just made me think, you know, life's too short. I need to pursue my passion. And so I started writing screenplays, and I'd always been fearful of books because I think the novelist is quite a special position to be in, because you're directly interfacing with the reader's mind, and you're conjuring imagery and emotion without the interface of a screen or music or anything. You're using words to create an entire experience. And I'd always been daunted by that. So I don't like being afraid of things. And I set myself a challenge of writing my first novel. And for some reason, I decided I was going to rip the Band-Aid off and write it in 30 days. And I did. And that book came close to selling, actually, to the UK arm of Simon & Schuster. I went down for one of the editorial meetings that you go for where they talk to you about, you know, what they would do with the book and that sort of thing. But in the end, they decided not to pick it up because it would have been quite a challenging marketing, you know, it would have been a difficult marketing challenge for them. And so I wrote another book, and that got close to being picked up again. And I thought, well, you know, how do I crack this nut? You know, I've written two novels, both got good responses, both got quite close to being picked up by one of the majors. And the feedback that I kept getting was, you know, write something that's really commercial and kind of right in the sweet spot of contemporary fiction that deals with issues that people are thinking about now. And so I wrote Pendulum, which was my first properly, you know, published novel. And actually I'd become so discouraged by the experience of being, of having two books get so close, that I was, at the same time, I was commissioned to adapt David Mitchell's novel Number Nine Dream for the screen. And I was halfway through Pendulum, and I just said to my agent, look, I'm going to be tied up writing this screenplay for a while. Why don't we just submit the partially complete manuscript and see what people think? And if people are interested, I'll finish it. And if they're not, we'll know without me having to finish the rest of the book. And my agent was really against that, but it worked. We sold a trilogy of books, actually, off the back, the first half of Pendulum. And it was just an overwhelming experience to suddenly, you know, to go from kind of being disheartened and despondent about it to, oh my God, you know, somebody really likes it and, you know, wants me to publish it. First, of course, I had to finish the book.
Well, that must have been really tough, though, to get so close two times. What kind of kept you going?
I mean, I know people who've written seven novels before getting published, five novels before getting published. It's just, you know, I think the only person that can really stop you from being an author, the only person that can decide whether you fail or not at your task is you. It's a very empowering thing. If you keep going, if you persist, if you try and understand what it is that you're doing wrong or what it is that isn't quite hitting the spot, you can address that. And for me, it wasn't the writing, it wasn't the characterization. I was mashing up genres. I was putting together sci-fi with espionage, with action thrill. I was kind of mashing up too much, and it was making it difficult for publishers to understand where to put me as a debut. And so with Pendulum, I wrote something that was very clearly in a category that publishers could market. And so, you know, it was disheartening to come so close, but it was also encouraging because I could fix the problems that they raised, and it worked.
That's great. Well, I know that you have co-authored a couple of novels with James Patterson. I'm curious if you can talk about it. How did that opportunity come about, and what was the co-writing process like?
So we're working on our fourth novel together, Private Rome. And it came about largely because Jim read Pendulum and he gave me an incredible quote, so generous, you know, it was it just great of him. And we've never met. And as a debut, I didn't really understand the importance of getting blurbs from other authors and how that can help sort of build momentum for a novel. And I'd, you know, my editor had, you know, kind of managed to get this amazing blurb from Jim. And so I knew that he liked my writing, and co-founded a festival in London, and one of the people on our advisory board was an editor at Jim's Publishers in London. And basically there were just some conversations that were had. And one day I got a call from my agent saying, you know, they've talked about you and Jim really likes your stuff. Would you like to co-write with him? And it's just not an opportunity that you say no to. And it's been an amazing experience. I have learned so much from it, so much from it. And his, you know, he gets, you know, stick sometimes, but I think he's a phenomenal writer, and his focus is is on giving readers a really awesome experience. He tries to make his books accessible and entertaining. And I just think that's something really valuable that every single author can learn from, you know, kind of whatever you're writing, whether it's, you know, high end sort of literary fiction, it's that idea of having the reader at the heart of the experience and making them all important. And I think Jim does that brilliantly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's great. And I'm curious, are you still writing screenplays?
Yes, I am. I've just delivered a TV pilot for actually for a US and a UK production, two production companies who are working on a original thriller concept that I've come up with. So yeah, I do. My focus is mainly on novels at the moment, but I still do, I'd say probably about 20 or 30% of my time is spent on screen at the moment.
And I'm curious, because screenplays are a very structured form, how do you feel like that impacts your novel writing? Are you someone who does extensive outlines before you write the novel?
I am. I didn't used to be. And, you know, everyone has their own thing. And I always say, you know, whatever works for you as a writer, just take time to know yourself and figure out what works best for you. I started off my first three novels I wrote without planning them. I had a rough idea and I just started writing, and they were incredibly challenging to edit. And when I started working with Jim and I saw his process and how he likes to, you know, see his books plotted out, and I just thought, wow, this is really clever. And it was basically what you do with film and TV. You always start with, you know, an outline, a beat sheet, synopsis. You build from humble beginnings because it's easy to work with small amounts of content. And if you do the same with novels, you build from one page to five to a 20-page outline, you know, chapter by chapter, and you can cut things. You can cut the chapters really easily, move them around, shift what happens to characters, and that sort of thing. Much more easily than you can when you've got 100,000 words to edit and you need to make changes with something of that scale. So I found that my writing process has got better. And I think, and I, you know, ultimately readers have to be the judge of this, but I think the quality of my work has improved as well as a result, because I'm doing all of the hard work up front and then I can focus on the kind of the actual, the quality of the writing, the quality of the characterization, and all the things that I think just make a novel so much richer. And that's what I love about novels versus screenplays. I love playing with language and exploring the kind of limits of what you can do in terms of creating emotion, imagery, characterization in novels. And it's a sort of freedom that you don't have in screenplays.
Sure. Well, I'm curious, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
I would say, I mean, there's loads, but I would say live an interesting life. I would say live an interesting life. People say read. I think that's a given. If you're a writer, you should always be reading. You need to see what other people are doing, how people use different techniques. And that all kind of feeds into your own style. And it's important to get to know yourself as a writer and figure out what works best for you. But I would say a really key thing to do is to live an interesting life. And it doesn't mean you have to be a spy or jump out of airplanes or anything like that. Talk to people. It's amazing what you can pick up in terms of stories, anecdotes, character, just by, you know, talking to people. And people who sort of stick in my mind are, you know, I went and interviewed a serial killer in Britain's second highest maximum security prison. And that was an experience that I'll never forget. I've spent time with former and serving espionage agents and spoken to them in some detail about their experiences. And you can learn so much that just adds to the quality of your work. And also if you're, you know, in your own life, if you've got things that you've experienced or skills that you've acquired, they can just add such richness to your writing. So I would say, you know, try and live as interesting a life as possible.
That's great. Well, I'm curious, what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
I think I've recently read A Twist of the Knife by Anthony Horowitz, which is just such an inventive murder mystery series where he's paired himself as a character in the novel with a detective, Hawthorne, who they kind of, you know, go around solving crimes together. And when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, that sounds quite odd, but it works brilliantly. And I think it's an incredibly brave author who puts themselves in their own work and is so sort of self-deprecating and funny about themselves in the novel. And it's kind of playing with boundaries of truth and fiction and, you know, it just such an entertaining series. So that's one that's really stuck in my mind recently.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels?
I have my website, adamhamdi.com. And I'm also on Twitter as Adam Hamdi. If you just look for my handle is Adam Hamdi. And I'm also on Instagram now, which I was talked into joining, and I'm on there as Adam Hamdi author. Yeah. So I think, you know, social media is now a full-time job for authors. I'm thinking about cloning myself, just somebody who could do all of the selfies and all the things that you're expected to do now.
And start a TikTok account.
Oh, no, please. Everyone okay. keeps saying, you know, it's really TikTok is where it's at now. And I'm just like, oh, no, please don't say that.
Yeah, as soon as you create one, it'll be another platform.
I know.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Adam Hamdi, author of the new novel, The Other Side of Night. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Adam, thanks a lot for doing this interview.
Oh, Jeff, it's an absolute pleasure. I really enjoy it. So, some great questions.
Great.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.